The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at XO Holly, at the underscore Jermaine, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. Got all those out in one breath. As Holly Seymour and Jermaine Every fill in today for A.J. Hoffman, who will be off for the next week. As you know, we got to get these last few vacation breaks in before the real season starts, because football is right around the corner. Missed the first hour? You missed how hard it is to be hot. And some football talk. We worked in some football talk there, too. But, yeah. This story that we did is written by someone named Philip Ellis for Men's Health. I have to say, this is almost as bad as the chick in New York who wrote about how air conditioning is a bad thing.
Okay, hold
up. That article was dumb as hell.
Oh, I just wanted that woman to come walk my dogs around the block one day in the summer in Houston and then tell me we don't need air conditioning. Or how about this? I just spent a couple of weeks in Vegas. How about you walk outside in Vegas, or let's turn the air conditioner off in the casino and see how many people die. Now, some of those people wouldn't be bad if they died running around on their rascals and oxygen tanks. I mean, they're going to die anyway. But come on. That was just so dumb.
Was that the one about the office where she was in the office?
Yes.
And that she was saying she shouldn't have to freeze?
So, I'm so uncomfortable.
Hold on. I kind of feel her, because in my office, everybody turns on the fan on high, and the AC's fine, but when the fan's on high and everything, I'm freezing. I'm like tiny, and I freeze very easily. So why do I have to wear a cardigan? Because everybody else is hot. I'm cold. That's not fair.
Give you a jacket at work.
I can't. I wear suits and stuff. Like, I can't wear a jacket.
How about go work outside if it's that big a deal? Go out and do some construction work or something, and then whine to me about your air conditioning.
Y'all tweet at me if y'all have any positions opening.
Here's the thing.
Oh, air conditioning is bad, and oh, it's so hard to be hot.
You're gonna appreciate
your life
that
is
AC.
So tough.
You're gonna appreciate that AC one day when you don't have it and it goes out and it's in the middle of July. You're gonna appreciate that AC one day.
I mean, I like it when I'm at home and I like it really cold at my place, but that's because I have, like, clothes, extra clothes I could put on. I could get under the covers. When I'm at work, I don't want to be miserable, and everybody's, like, turning the fan
You're
on high.
You're always going to be miserable at work. It's work. You're
if
supposed
you
to be miserable.
Have to work, like, outside or, like, work around and visit places and drive around and stuff like I do, when you catch that first case of swamp ass when it gets really hot outside in Houston, trust me, you're going to change your opinion about AC.
All right.
There is nothing worse than trying to be outside measuring a pool deck for a lady who wants to have some transformation to her stone on her pool deck. And you're like, you just got sweat in places that you wish you didn't have places.
Oh, well.
Well, she may not have some of the same places you have.
Just guessing.
True.
Don't label me. It's 2019. Don't label me. Okay. I'm just kidding. I'm so kidding.
What do you identify as?
Don't get me started on that. That is awful.
Hey, if you have a penis, that's your business. I don't need to know about it.
That's sick.
But, this is the world we live in, that people complain about, oh, the air conditioning's too cold. Oh, I'm so attractive that no one will approach me, and everyone wants to have sex with me, and people think I'm stupid because I'm hot. If you're really, really hot, you probably are stupid.
Well,
that just goes without saying.
But
you don't need to be smart. If you're hot, you don't need to be smart. You don't need to be anything.
Look at some
you're
of the
hot.
Smartest people in the world. They're not the most attractive. And some of the most attractive people in the world ain't the brightest.
I feel like I'm average. I'm not real smart, and I'm not real hot. So I'm like on the middle of the scale. The middle thing right here, like I even out. I feel like I'm a great catch. I'm right in the middle.
I think I'm that outlier. that's like both just really attractive and really smart. I think I like, you, you know, you see like the little dots and then you see that one little dot that's like way over in the corner. I think that's me.
You're fired.
I know. I'm just, I'm sorry. Yeah, how can I say it? I'm vain.
Yeah, stop. Just stop. I think we were just, never mind. I'm not even going to get into this.
You got to be confident in yourself, you know? You got to walk around like, yeah, I am that damn attractive, and I am that damn
smart.
That
is confidence. Like, if you're in the middle, like, you're in the middle of everything. You're a great catch. You're in the middle. You're not, like, overly,
Stop with the in-the-middle thing. That's pathetic. It is. So what are people supposed to do if they're hot? Cool people have a simple solution. Cover up.
Okay, exactly. I wear a suit to work, so what am I supposed to cover up with? A whole blanket?
Get a space heater. That's what my wife does.
Oh, then you'll burn the whole place down. That's, you know.
No, they make the ones that don't catch fire when they tip over. Oh, no. They automatically turn off.
Those things, a space heater will automatically catch on fire and kill people, just like a trailer home will automatically be a magnet for a tornado. There's certain things that's life.
Or meth.
I mean, those are just facts.
And it's me, y'all. I'm the one that caught popcorn on fire. It's me. Like, anything will, like, we don't need anything. True. I will find a way for it to catch on fire.
Okay, you want to work outside. We go down to Ace Hardware. We'll get you a power washer. You just start handing out business cards. You go and you just power wash people's driveways. You make good money doing
it. So hard.
And then you're outside in the heat.
Power washing is so hard.
And you're really getting paid.
You can charge four times as much as a regular business.
Especially if you do, like, housekeeping in a bikini. Do you know how many creepy old dudes like Fred would pay you to clean their house in a bikini?
Fred's gonna kill y'all. He's like,
no, listen, I don't want to be around when my Fridays specifically, I don't want to be around the house when the housekeeper's there, and I don't care if it was a bikini housekeeper or not. I don't feel comfortable when somebody's cleaning up all my crap being in the house with them.
It is kind of weird,
huh? You know, that's so, like, on Fridays the dog goes to daycare, and as soon as she gets there I leave, and usually, like, I'll go to the gym or something, but I get out of the house at 10:30 every Friday, and I don't go back until after the show. I just don't like being around. She's nice. She's great. She does a terrific job. I just feel very weird about somebody in my house cleaning up all my stuff.
I've never had a housekeeper, so I wouldn't know what that's like, but I do have clients who have housekeepers, and I have some clients who have multiple housekeepers, and they're there the entire time the housekeeper is there. They have no shame whatsoever.
If I wanted to clean houses, I'd be a girlfriend or a wife. That's not the job for me.
But you're still getting paid either way.
Yeah, but
it's just directly or indirectly.
Why does that have to be the girlfriend or the wife's job?
Because that's usually what the girlfriend or the wife does, right? I don't know. I don't date, so I don't know.
Like, in charge of some cleaning stuff. Like I'll put it to you like this. When I haven't cleaned my shower in a while, and I'm used to be pretty meticulous about it when we first moved into the new house, and I slacked off, my wife wouldn't tell me anymore. She would just drop subtle hints, like putting the cleaner and the little sponge thingy in the shower, so if I'm going to take a shower, I have to move it. So I like to clean up, though, too.
Well, I clean my own stuff because I'm OCD, but I don't know if I want to clean after anybody else, because I'm very, like, OCD and weird and, like, a germaphobe too. So,
like, dishes, the kitchen and stuff, like, it has to be clean. I'm not as OCD as my wife, but, like, there was always a thing. Like, my grandfather would wake you up in the middle of the night, or wake you up, like, early in the morning before the chickens woke up, and make you clean the kitchen if you didn't clean the kitchen before you went to bed. Like, that was his thing. Like, the kitchen had better be clean before you go to bed.
See, we kind of split things up. Like, the wife, the dishes is her thing. Like, mm-hmm. I usually wash the clothes, and then, you know, we'll take turns on just picking up around the house, and then the lady comes once a week and cleans up everything, and it works because, you know, between the two of us, we're not there a whole ton. You know, most of the time we're at work, so the place doesn't get that messy,
right?
But it's a division of labor. It works.
Yeah, we try to split things up, but my wife is, like, so OCD about certain things that she wants to do it. And if you do it and you don't do it right, and she feels like she has to do the whole thing all over
again.
That's
me, yeah. I'm like, you're going to mess it up. Just don't even. You're going to mess it up. Don't worry about it.
But what's funny is, and I told her, I was like, well, when I do it, you say I didn't do it as good as you did, or I didn't do it good enough. And so then you start fussing because you feel like you have to redo it, when actually you don't have to redo it. It's already done. You just didn't like the way it was done. So we kind of go back and forth about it. It's always funny because, like, I'll, like, work really hard at it, and then she'll be like, oh my gosh, look at this. You left streaks on the mirror, and this, like, It's clean, though.
I feel like I tried.
Yeah, I tried. I at least did it. But, nah, she's just really, really particular about that kind of stuff. And I'm that way about the granite countertops because that's what I do for a living. So, like, when they try to wipe it off with the dish soap and stuff like that, I freak out and start yelling at everybody. So, yeah, we have our moments.
All right, Jermaine Every, Holly Seymour. As you can tell, they're both weirds. But we're happy to have them. A32 said, we had carpet put in the house today, and I felt like an a-hole as the guys are busting their ass, and I'm on the couch. That's the thing. Anytime there's any kind of work going on in the house, I don't want to be around. I mean, I just don't because, you know, they're working. And usually, I mean, I'm trying to work too, but I do feel like an a-hole.
It's rough because, it's like, we'll be in the house working sometimes, and the client will be, like, in an office or something like that, or sometimes they'll leave. But the best jobs are, like, when the house is vacant and there's absolutely nobody there. Those are, like, the best jobs.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You say that you're here, but you live on the sun.
Burning the cut. I'm at a funeral. Nothing unusual. Baby, I do what I like. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No AJ today or next week. Holly Seymour, Jermaine Every filling in. You have a fan on the Twitch channel, by the way. Holly says the more you talk about yourself, the hotter you get.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to hear this average stuff. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I don't think you're that attractive, but a lot of people find you very attractive. So,
well, I
stop selling
that.
Yourself short and quit whining about how you're unapproachable.
You heard him. So if you guys see me at the bar, please approach me and purchase me a drink. I'm just kidding.
She likes just vodka don't, and water.
She likes vodka and just don't look at the claws because they will scare you off. There's no question.
No, they won't.
Nah, it'll freak you out.
No, really. She looks like a bobcat with those. So,
is it bobcat or mountain lion? Which
one
is
it? I
have
no idea. I prefer jaguar.
Jaguar.
A jaguar kind of sounds sexy.
Yeah. And then a cougar has always sounded pretty cool. So, jaguar.
Yeah, jaguar. Right before you become a cougar, you're a jaguar.
I've been a cougar for a while.
Oh, stop.
I'm just kidding.
Stop.
No, in reference to, like, younger guys. In reference to, like, younger guys.
I'm in my 30s. Oh, I'm so bleeping old. Oh,
I told
life
you,
is
for
so
women,
hard.
It is for women, okay?
Oh, get out of here.
Gosh.
Jeez. Oh. Yeah, let's just count the ways that Holly's life is so tough. She's...
I'm starting to think she helped Mr. Ellis write that article.
Yeah, I think she did write it.
I think he's a ghostwriter because I was trying to find pictures of the guy to see what he looks like because I figure, okay, he's either a hipster or he looks like a ninth grade science teacher. One of the two. Like, it's one way or the other.
See, I couldn't find pictures of him. I picture him looking like John Hamm. Like, being, like, really handsome.
Yeah. No. No way that guy wrote that article and he's, like, attractive. No way.
Well, no, I don't know. I think he truly believes it.
Yeah, I think it's because life is so hard for attractive people. Hey, can we talk a little NFL?
Work some
NFL in here with you guys.
Sure.
Sportsnot did 10 NFL rookies who could surprise this season. So I'm going to give you the rookie, and you tell me, are they right, are they wrong, or are they just making stuff up out of thin air? Or whatever. I mean, those aren't your only options, but, you know, those are options.
Shoot.
Hakeem Butler, Arizona Cardinals.
I like his size, his height. I'm a little sketch on their quarterback that they have right now. So that kind of ties into that with me. That's how I'm going to look at that one.
Quarterback and coach and the whole system.
Yeah.
But I this guy I loved in college. He was a real weapon for Iowa State. He's big. We'll have to see how it translates to the NFL. But I would not be shocked. I would be surprised because I would think that the 40% of passes Kyler Murray's probably going to complete would go to Larry Fitzgerald.
but
I don't think so. Simply because when you have two guys on the field at the same time that are pretty much the same type of player, although Butler is a lot larger than Larry Fitzgerald, well, a little bit larger. You got two big bodied route runners. You know, you need somebody who can kind of stretch the field, kind of take things away from them, or maybe even a tight end that can work underneath. I don't know if they really have that on that roster right now. And plus, that offensive line is atrocious. So trying to work the ball down the field, especially getting in the red zone where Butler could be a potential touchdown threat, is going to be hard for that team.
Exactly.
All right. About Cody Ford, Buffalo Bills tackle slash guard.
He was one of my favorites. He's always started. He's been a starter. He's ready to go. He's got a good mean streak. I mean, I think he's going to complement Allen very well. I think that that's going to work out good.
I tend to think so, too. But the one thing that makes me think that it won't is if he is playing tackle and Josh Allen holds on to the ball too damn long, is going to make Ford look bad.
Yeah, I think if he winds up at guard, he could. He's not going to be like Quentin Nelson, but I think he could have a really big season.
Exactly.
A.J. Brown, wide receiver for Tennessee.
Again, here with the, I feel like we're not going to be able to really see his potential right away because look at his quarterback. So I don't see him like doing anything significant that's going to stand out to me.
Here's the thing: if Corey Davis can continue to step up and grow, that's going to open things up for Brown, in my opinion. Whether or not Mariota can get the ball to him is a whole nother deal. But with Derrick Henry at the running back spot, Corey Davis on one side, Brown on the other side, there's a chance for him to look good. Now, will he just wow us? I don't know. That depends on what the rest of that offense looks like.
I think for fantasy purposes, Corey Davis, big season this year. Predicting it now. Juan Thornhill, safety for Kansas City.
I think anything that Kansas City throws back there right now, because they were struggling in their defense, especially in their secondary, I think that anybody has the potential back there. However, I wasn't too familiar on him, so I can't tell you a lot about him.
Here's the thing. If that pass rush doesn't generate any pressure on the quarterback, none of those defensive backs are going to look good. And it doesn't matter if you're playing next to Tyrann Mathieu in the defensive backfield as a safety. Can that front seven get any pressure on the quarterback? Because you let Dee Ford go. You traded for Frank Clark and gave him a big deal when you could have just kept your own guy who was just as productive and gave him a deal. You didn't. So, it to me, his success is going to depend on that front seven.
All right. Here's one that I think one of the panel here will be very interested in. Miles Sanders, running back, Philadelphia Eagles.
I do think that he has really good potential to surprise people this season, especially with the way the running back situation is ran in Philly. I think that he's a different style. He's a good runner. He's a hard runner. And I think that he's going to do really big.
I don't think so, because what? That Philly backfield is so crowded.
He's got Josh Howard. Is it Josh Howard? Yeah, that came in behind him. But I think that they're willing to play him. If he can stay healthy, I know he's coming off of just a minor injury. Mm-hmm. I think that he has what it takes to make a splash. He won't be the only one making touches, you're right, because that's not how Philly runs the ball. But I was really, really excited when they drafted him. I think it's a great pickup.
See, the thing is, if Jordan Howard takes away some of those carries from him, and then Darren Sproles is coming back for another year.
87-year-old Darren Sproles.
I think that was more of a Darren Sproles. He wanted to retire and have a healthy season. And I don't think he's going to get all the touches like you're thinking.
He may get some action on third down.
Yeah.
You know, motioning out of the backfield or something like that. So my whole point was, I don't think he's going to have as of much of a wild kind of breakout kind of season, because there's so many guys back there fighting for touches.
Chase Winovich, edge rusher for the Patriots from Michigan. I think this is Belichick's going to find a way to make this guy a very productive player.
Of course. He's the type of guy that the Patriots pick. And it's like, it doesn't wow you with anything that he does great, but he's just good enough for them to plug and play and do exactly what he needs them to do, which is come off the edge in the stand-up edge rush position, maybe be a decoy and drop back in coverage on some type of zone blitz or something like that. But he's just good enough and fundamentally sound enough for Belichick to plug and play him and do pretty good things on that defense. I think he'll have a decent rookie season. I'm not looking for a 10-plus sack or, you know, get high turnovers type of forced fumbles or interceptions or anything like that, but I think he'll plug and play in that defense very well.
Yeah.
Here's one that's interesting to me. Debo Samuel for the 49ers, wide receiver. The 49ers basically got half their receivers from the Star of Hope last year, so I don't think it's going to take much to have a guy step in and be competitive.
The thing that I like about the potential of this 49ers offense is when they signed Tevin Coleman, a game-breaking type of running back who can also do some things, catching the ball out of the backfield. George Kittle had a really good success as a tight end last year. I wasn't looking for him to have anything, and he just was this really good tight end last year. Dante Pettis as well. I mean, there's so many guys out there. And then you have Marquise Goodwin as a game-breaker with a guy who has legit Olympic-type speed on the outside. Deebo Samuel has a chance to come in there and be pretty productive.
All right. How about one of your Saints, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson?
Here's the thing. His success is also going to be like the running back from Philly who we just spoke about. There's a lot of guys in that defensive backfield for the Saints. Von Bell and Marcus Williams are the incumbents. But they always like to have a third guy because sometimes Bell will drop down in the box or play some slot corner or something like that. They got three good corners out there, Crawley, Lattimore, and Eli Apple play very well. So it just depends on how much time he's going to take to get acclimated to the NFL level, number one, and fight for playing time over Williams and or Bell, which is likely will be Bell, I'm thinking. But, you know, Sean Payton and I can't remember the Saints defensive coordinator right now. I think it's Dennis Allen. They find creative ways to get different combinations of guys on the field, especially in the defensive backfield. So if he proves to be a ball hawking safety like he's touted to be, he might be able to make enough plays and find some time to make an impact.
That's what I was going to ask you. How do you I know that they're secondary stacked. That's why I'm glad you answered like that, because I was going to ask from a Saints point of view, like, where they were going to play him or how they were going to play him. So
I've seen teams do really
concern with him.
Yeah, I've seen teams do really creative things with multiple safeties on the field. One of the things that I like is when a D coordinator will line up, like they'll have three safeties. They'll look like two guys are up top, you know, playing two man high or like a cover two or cover two man style defense. Guys are lined up on the line of scrimmage like they're playing bump and run, and then boom, they'll switch into a zone as soon as the ball is snapped. So there's a lot of times where a team will think they have a mismatch and they get baited into something, throwing into what they think is man coverage, and it turns into a zone. So that's a lot of the times how teams will get multiple safeties on the field, especially if you get into like a second and long or maybe a third and long situation where it could be a draw, a screen, or something over the middle, and you drop those safeties in those linebacker positions back into zone coverages. Those guys can flip their hips and get around a lot better than most of those linebackers can. So that's another way that you can work multiple safeties on the field.
Darrell Henderson, running back, Rams. I love this guy. I love that draft pick when they took him. I think he has the potential to be the best running back out of this draft. I loved him at Memphis. He's explosive. He's a home run threat. And I mean, obviously when you have Todd Gurley, you don't need one of these, but the way Gurley looked at the end of the season with the injuries, I think that was a perfect pick for them. And if Gurley's not right, I think this guy's going to be a stud.
You literally took the exact words off of my notes. I said that he definitely has the potential. He has what it takes to be their star running back behind. I mean, like you said, Gurley's going to be having the workload. They've already stressed. The Rams have already made it clear they are taking the workload from Gurley. They're not going to run him as hard. They're not going to give him as many touches. I definitely think we should look out for this guy. I'm with you. That's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. Like, here's the thing. Whenever you have a bell cow like Gurley and you take him out of the game, most of the time teams think you're not going to run the ball. But with a guy like Henderson, the threat of the run is still there. So I like his chances to have at least 500-600 yards this year.
All right, and then Jalen Ferguson, edge for the Ravens. I think any edge rusher in Baltimore has a chance to have a breakout year.
Guy had first-round talent, dropped to, I believe, the third round for the Ravens, second or third round. NCAA all-time leader in sacks. That's a number that he put up at Louisiana Tech, and most of the time people don't think about, oh, well, he's the all-time leader in sacks, but he played at Louisiana Tech. Talent transfers, and when a guy has moves and skills and whatnot, that transfers to the next level. He's pretty athletic. He kind of reminds me of a longer, leaner type of, almost like Jason Taylor. I'm not comparing him to Jason Taylor. I'm just saying body type-wise. But he has the ability to get about, I would say, anywhere from 8 to 10 sacks his rookie year.
All right, we need to take a quick break here. A little bit over. When we come back, we'll do a little more sportsy stuff. Then we got a gym of the day, and then we'll have RJ Bell. Got a lot still to go. Halfway through the show, first half flew by. What is it Joel always says?
90 in the rear shield.
90 in the rear view, 90 in the windshield, something like that.
That's it.
90 in the butt, and I don't know. Just quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Jermaine Every, Holly Seymour. Holly, very popular on the text and Twitch lines. So
I wish I could respond to this chat, but it would make me log in, and I'm really lazy, and I don't want to sign up. Really? So to the people asking for my toes pictures, I see you. I just can't respond. And it just got really awkward for everybody. So
I can respond for
that.
You. Well, what you guys should do is try to win tickets to the listener party and take your shot then.
Yes, I'll wear open-toed shoes, so you guys try to win the tickets.
Can't wait to not see that. So.
Thank you, Fred.
So what is this thing with you and feet?
I just have never liked feet. I think it's God's greatest mistake. And, you know, I think we should have something like hooves or, you know, like paws. Anything like that would be cool. But feet are disgusting. They're disgusting.
So you would rather hooves or paws than feet?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That is so
weird. I don't
know.
Maybe you're around people that don't have pretty feet. I get pedicures and, like, I feel like my feet are clean and, like,
it doesn't matter really how clean cute, and like, cute your feet are. They're still ugly. That's what feet are. Feet are not attractive unless you have a foot fetish and then and you're Rex Ryan. That's cool.
Oh, you know how I love Rex Ryan.
But
because he has a foot fetish, that's why you like Rex Ryan. I don't know. I just have the thing with feet touching certain things. Like if feet are on like tables or arms of chairs or I don't know. It's just feet touching certain things is what freaks me out, not feet themselves.
Well, it's and everybody has their preferences. It's just not something that I'm into.
And yeah, I mean, everybody has their hangups and quips and quirks and fetishes.
I have an irrational fear of escalators.
Really?
Yes.
You know what sometimes like creeps my anxiety out, like when you go on those huge overpasses.
Yeah,
that kind of like free. I always think I'm gonna die, like a plane is gonna hit it and I'm gonna crash, or like I'm gonna like somehow lose control of the vehicle and fall over.
Those things
feet.
Used to freak me out too until I just focused on the 10 feet in front of me and not look down or anything like that. Now they don't bother me. But yeah, but anytime I'm on an escalator, like I'm very careful about getting on it because I'm always afraid that a shoelace is gonna get caught in there and I'm gonna lose a foot. It's irrational. It's like traffic. I have this irrational. I get irrationally angry over traffic, especially in Houston. There's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But escalators.
I shouldn't tell you my escalator story from when I was a kid, then, huh? Oh.
No.
This is bad.
Well, now that you've said it, you have to.
My shoelace did get caught, and I fell, and I was too young to actually know that you're supposed to put your hands forward to catch yourself, and I went face first down, and it cut my eyebrow open.
Oh, dude.
Did you get stitches? I've had stitches in my eyebrow.
It wasn't that big. Oh, but okay. It was just I was only maybe 4 or 5 years old. But yeah. I had just learned to tie my shoes and apparently not that well. And we were at Willowbrook Mall going upstairs and bam.
That could have pulled your foot down in there and smashed it and you'd be walking around now with a nub.
No, actually the shoelace broke once it weight pulled away from it. The shoelace snapped, but I got up and there was a little bit of blood and my mom freaked out.
There was one time I was down at the dog track and there was this guy on the escalator and he just collapsed while he was on the escalator and rolled down the thing, and like everybody freaked out and they had to turn the thing off, and they came and got him and took him off in an ambulance. And you know, my brother works down there. He texts me later that night and he goes, "You'll never believe who's at the track tonight." And I would think it was somebody famous. He goes, "Escalator dude, he's back."
What? No, my fear is like I'm gonna get off an elevator and somehow it's gonna drop and fall, or I'm gonna get stuck in an elevator and it's gonna drop and fall. I think I've watched Die Hard way too many times. Like that's my, when I get off an elevator, I always kind of hop off or walk off very quickly or like kind of time it or whatever. I have no idea why, but there. And I have a friend that works on elevators, and he says no. There's a safety mechanism that even if it gets off track, it won't ever like drop and fall like 10 stories or whatever. But I'm still like, it kind of freaks me out.
Getting back to our earlier conversation, Juan has the numbers for what you are at certain ages. He says Panthers for 28 to 36. Cougars are 35 to 47.
Oh, I'm creeping.
So I guess you can be a Panther and a Cougar. There's like a year overlap there. Same thing with Lioness, 45 to 58. That's a two-year overlap. That doesn't make any sense. And Sabretooth is 57 and above. He says he overlaps to compensate for variables based on lifestyle and lifespan. Like a meth lioness, probably going to be a lot younger than 57. I like the idea of a jaguar in there, though. Jaguar.
I just think you like saying it like that.
I do. I like saying jaguar. I like British accents. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot even.
That's why you like all those BBC shows.
Oh, I do. I do. I'm coming around that Australian accent might be sexier than English accent.
They're pretty similar, though.
Yeah. It's like...
It's a little more... Australian's a little more guttural. And it was funny because we were... when we were in Vegas, I was playing poker with this... There was this Australian couple at the table. And, you know, you talk about... Like, how somebody's a 5 here or 10 here. She's, like, physically probably a 5. As soon as she started talking, she's a 9. It just was the sexiest voice ever.
If she would have had red hair, like, that would have been your...
Well, yeah, red hair and not a husband at the table with me, who actually was also very nice.
True.
Because I started talking to him first, and then he was, that's my wife over there. And then she starts talking, and I'm like, that voice is just, oh, man. South African is always the best, though.
They all sound similar. One just sounds like a country cousin of the other one. Like the British are like
a country cousin. I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, Maynard, we're not going to get into this crap on radio again today, okay?
No, I mean, obviously it's all going to be similar, but I think Australians a little more guttural, a little harsher. But South African, they have like the smoothest of the British type accents.
Yeah, their accents are pretty cool. Pretty cool accents. I love it when you sometimes I'll watch these streams of different like soccer matches or a boxing match or something like that, and they got all these guys from those different countries and whatnot, and just to hear those different accents, you know, speaking English is pretty funny. I actually almost enjoy those more than like the Jim Lampley and the Roy Jones Jr., Lennox Lewis, and all those guys.
All right, we are going to oh, wow. I'm getting all these escalator stories now. My mom worked at Willowbrook Mall back in the day. Kid got his fingers cut off on an escalator.
Guys. So.
All right. Quick break. Gym of the day coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No AJ. Jermaine Every, Holly Seymour filling in. Always fun to have these two. I mean, they don't necessarily have to be on at the same time. I just always have fun when it's the two of them for some reason. I think there's some good chemistry there.
Yes. It's got to be Jermaine's great looks and my personality, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Duh. Yeah.
Stop. And mix people making fun of how I look, and a lot of people saying it looks a lot better. Just keep in mind, it's not anywhere near what it's going to look like, but it's already a lot better than it was. And if you want to, hey, you guys can make fun of me all you want. That's I'm not afraid to put myself out there. I'm not afraid for you to see all the ugly pictures of me. If it makes you laugh, I'm all for it. So go right ahead. Don't worry about my self-esteem. I'm okay. I know what I'm good at. Well, it's not much, but, you know, occasionally I can write something that people like. Occasionally I can do a radio show that doesn't suck.
Yeah, I kind of recall you writing this really good book that there's some people that did the audio version of it.
Yeah, yeah. But the two of the stars of the audiobook are sitting right here. And if you bought the novel and you loved it, you should really get the audiobook. It's really inexpensive, and Jermaine and Holly and John Granato in particular were fantastic. And what was really cool listening to it was hearing how they interpreted the work and the way and some of the inflections that they used that weren't how I intended it when I wrote it, but they made it better. It was almost like an actor taking a line. So check it out. It's worth it. Just go to JesusTheNovel.com. Shameless plug.
Yeah, it was kind of fun because I remember reading an advanced copy of it, and I was like, wow, like this is a really cool story. So when you asked me to do that part, I was like, okay. And as we're recording it, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I don't want to just read it because it has to have some emotion, because when you're listening to something, you want it to give you a visual picture. It has to speak to you. So my whole thing was read it as if I'm acting it out. So sometimes I was reading it and I was actually doing like hand motions and stuff to try to act it at the same time while I'm reading it in order to give it a little bit more life. That was just kind of my, you know, thought process to it.
A couple other things from Twitter before we get to the gym of the day. Christina, the little person, says, I sat on the escalator and my dad wasn't paying attention and it caught me at the top. Romper was slashed and my ass was bleeding from the cuts. And then I got spanked for not knowing better. I was 5. Damn.
Oh, man.
What? Oh, so, yeah, here's another great excuse. It's like, oh, I'm so hot, no one will approach me. Oh, I was only 5 years old. I should have known better.
Yeah, Aaron, you should have known better also.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, luckily I didn't get yelled at for it.
I can't believe you get spanked at 5 years old for that.
Aww. Well, wait, here's my thing. Your ass is already torn up. And you get a spank on top of that? Yeah. That's just like, come on, man. Yeah, like, she's been through enough.
That's beating a dead horse. Yo Adrian says, I use the term puma for 30-year-old cougars. So do you like puma?
Gross. No, that's just a weird word.
Puma. Jaguar.
Puma. Nah, I like, that's not even, doesn't even sound
I'm all about Jaguar.
Jaguar.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, we go to Las Cruces, New Mexico. And have you guys ever, like, walked a tab unintentionally? I mean, I've done it a couple times, but I always had left my card, so they just charge you the 25%, and it's fine. But have you ever, like, been at a restaurant and left and not...
I've been really drunk at bars and accidentally walked out, but they had my card. Like you said, they had my card, so I haven't, I don't think I've walked out.
And I have gone back the next day and made sure that I'd paid my tab. But as far as go to a restaurant, because they don't come get your card till the end, but leave before you pay.
No.
I don't think so, but I'm pretty sure I've done something like that before.
The dine and dash, as the kids call it.
Yeah, they call it dine and dash.
Yeah, I can't recall the specific incident. Now, there was a few occasions where we did do an actual dine and dash. Yes, I did do that. But I'm trying to think, like, have I ever, like, unintentionally done it? Yeah, of course I've done it intentionally when I was younger and crazy.
What kind of a human being are you? Those people work hard for that food.
Broke college student, dude. Like... Oh, it is what it is.
That makes it okay. If you're a broke college student, you can steal from people.
We've been given excuses all show long. I'm so attractive, no one wants to approach me. I was only 5 and I was an idiot, so I had escalator incidences. I mean, why can't I give the broke college student excuse for dine and dash?
I'm no part of this. I will have no part.
I'll give you 2 words. Ramen noodles. That's what you do when you're a broke college student. Ramen noodles and Easy Mac. You don't have to steal.
I lived at home and we still did it.
What a terrible human being you are. Well, I'm going to give you an excuse since apparently you like doing this stuff. And this is, and you're a great example for your children by doing this. Here's what you're going to do. Next time, you're going to do what this Las Cruces woman did. She rode her bicycle to the Sonic on El Paseo Road and then ordered some food. When the server asked for payment, she said, "This one's on God."
Whoa. That's like really clever.
This one's on God. Like... And he said, "That's not how it works," and tried to keep the food from her, but she allegedly threatened him and came toward him for the meal. Now, who's going to fight hard enough for a Sonic meal? But basically, the server, in fear of getting harmed, gave the woman the meal she'd ordered, went back in the restaurant where he called police. Police later found the woman, Delia Hernandez, in a park eating the meal. She told officers she knew what she'd done was wrong, and even hesitated to eat the meal because she knew it was wrong, but decided to eat it because, much like you, she was hungry.
So, here's... I have several questions about this. Why do you... Okay, if the at Sonic, you have an option to pay right there. If the person hasn't paid, typically at Sonic, they wait for payment before they give you the food.
Well, that's what he was trying to do, but she took it away from him because he started getting scared that she was going to get violent.
Oh, well, that's on him.
But here's the weird part. Well, besides, it's on God. I think that's my new go-to. Like, I'm going to go to the bar. It's like, yeah, this one's on God.
You want me to try it out? I'll test it first. I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Okay. Oh, but you know what's going to happen because you're the hot chick at a bar. Some guy's going to walk over and put his money down and say, hi, honey, I'm God.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Come on. That's
what
gonna,
that is exactly
great.
Actually,
what
they're going
to do. I would have totally been like, all right, you can have my number. That was pretty smooth. That was
yeah.
Smooth.
You know,
I mean,
that's
exactly what's going to happen. That's only because that's what I would do in that situation.
Okay, my other question about this gym of the day.
You can also go with Lord or Father. Or,
oh, my God.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. At Sonic, you're probably not going to spend more than $7, $8, 10 max. Are you really calling the police on somebody for that kind
of
money?
Well, check this out. She got arrested and was charged with a felony robbery.
For stealing Sonic?
Yes. I don't know how that's a felony robbery unless, you know, if you invoke the name of God, apparently. I don't know.
Never mind. I'm not testing it.
Wait a minute.
No, it wasn't. I don't know why, but it was a felony robbery. However, it says the charge may be reduced. She'll likely end up charged with petty misdemeanor of under $250 and be made to pay back the restaurant, which frankly, all right, I'm all for criminals being punished, but something like this, just make her pay the restaurant back. That's it.
But you know, they're going to go through court costs.
I know, but that's not, is that really necessary for something like that?
Honestly, if I would have been the server that would have brought it out and somebody would have been like, this one's on God, I'd have been like, yeah, all right.
And here's my other issue with this is, like, you bring stuff like this to court, you waste taxpayers' money and time and all of that over this kind of foolishness, and you have other people out there that's doing way more serious crimes other than stealing a Sonic meal.
Well, you know what she probably said when they asked who's paying for the lawyer. This one's on God.
She may want to call Lawyer Dave.
Silver Breeze says, someone who looks like Holly talking about actually having to pay for drinks. That's the gym of the day.
Actually, guys, I have said this multiple times before. When I leave the state of Texas, my drinks, like I go out and people will pay for my drinks. I can literally sit here at a bar by myself and nobody ever pays for my drinks. I'm not even kidding. I don't know if it's because I'm here in like this area, like in Texas, but nobody pays for my drinks here. I really wish they would. So if you do see me, that would be awesome. But nobody approaches me and nobody...
No, you know what? Oh, well, okay, to be fair, though, like when all of us hang out, like I'll buy your drinks for a while, but then you buy my drinks for a while.
Yeah.
We just kind of...
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, though, like you're...
But guys, I have seen guys buy you drinks while we've all been out.
Well, I must have been really drunk. You were. I don't remember that.
You were. That was the night we all did the multiple karaoke run downtown.
Oh, man.
We were so wasted.
Whoa.
And
I should have probably got a PI. Like, that was crazy. Like, I don't even.
And what was funny is, like, all these guys are buying Holly drinks, and she's not eating. And at the end, she was so drunk that she would take, like, one sip out of it, and then somebody buy her another one.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
I remember all that.
Yeah, that was.
See, this is the play. When you have a group of friends, I'm pretty sure you've probably done this before. You have a guy buy you a drink. You take a sip out of it. You give it to your girlfriend. And then another guy or that same guy buys you another drink.
Yeah, you're less hot girlfriends.
Now, both of y'all have drinks.
Yeah.
Honestly, we just literally, like, unless I'm out with, like, friends that I know, mm-hmm. like, my girlfriends, like, people don't buy us drinks. Like, I really wish that they would. I'm not even kidding. Like, I don't get, like...
I remember another time when you guys went to the UH game and then it got too hot. So we all met up at Coach's.
Again, I was already wasted pregame.
And every guy who came into the
game or something.
Every guy who came into the place was buying her and her friends drinks. It was hilarious.
Well, wow. I guess by then I'm already like super trash.
Now, to be fair, they were buying me drinks too, and I thought they thought they might get lucky with me.
You know, they probably thought that you were her dad or something, and so they were like, "Well, if we buy him drinks,
exactly,
he's drunk. He won't care what we do with his daughter."
That's why I'm a great wingman.
Is it because they all think I'm her dad or something?
Exactly.
And yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, so we gotta treat him right so that we have the in. I'm like, no, it's
but
just my
if
running
you
buddies.
Guys are buying all of these drinks, you're gonna need to take something afterwards to make sure you kind of
oh,
bring
that's
it down.
A nice setup. And of course, cheers. And man, if you guys aren't on Cheers, you need to. And we've got a great deal where you can try it for free. Cheers is the best thing to happen to alcohol since, well, alcohol. Houston-based company, and this is one of my favorite products. I love these guys. Cheers Restore. It's an after-alcohol aid designed to reduce alcohol's negative effects so you can wake up feeling great. And believe me, if I drink during the week and I got to get up at 5:30 and do my sports map stuff, I'm taking Cheers, and it makes a difference. I feel like I didn't even drink the night before. To use it, you just take 2 to 4 capsules after your last drink or before you go to bed. That's it. You'll feel at least 50% better the next day, guaranteed. And if you order before 4 o'clock, you're going to get it the next day because they're based right here in Houston. And how about this? We're going to let you try it for free. Well, pretty much free. As a special gift to ESPN 97 listeners, Cheers is going to let you try out Cheers Restore for free. That's right, free. Just go to takecheers.com/975 and take the 30-second quiz. You're going to get a free 4-dose sample. All you pay is $1 for shipping. I think you can handle that. That's takecheers.com/975 to get your first 4 doses of Cheers Restore for free. So, hey, if you've been on the fence about trying Cheers, now you get a chance. $1. You can't do it for $1? Literally $1. Believe me, you'll be happy you did. It's life-changing. Go take cheers.com. Go to takecheers.com/975. Give it a try. Let us know what you think. That's takecheers.com/975.
With a mask in a cave. Now I'm like, nah, love, I'm good, go away. Ain't about to die with no money out in game.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.